Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ian Rappaport's appearance brought to you by Wallauer Paint Design, Benjamin Moore's largest paint dealer in Westchester, Putnam, and Rockland County. I've been curious about this. When you have gotten breaking news in the last 7 days, okay? I don't want to get into this BS that happened with you, but do you text somebody the breaking news? Like, are you feeling like I got to get it out? Or do you just tell your wife? Like, what do you do when you find out Le'Veon Bell signing with the Chiefs?
Well, I would say over the last 7 days or so, most people kind of know my situation. I mean, certainly it was spread pretty heavily online, so I haven't gotten a ton of, hey, this is happening.
We have
two very good, two of my colleagues are very good, Garofalo and Pelissero, who've been doing some good work over the last 7 days. So usually if I hear something, they have heard it too. And I'm also not chasing, so I'm not getting a lot of stuff because everyone knows the situation I'm in.
All right. I was envisioning these scenarios where you just needed to get this news out to somewhere. So you're texting like some guy from high school, like, hey, Le'Veon Bell just got caught or something like that. Well, it's good to talk to you. What do you think of the Le'Veon situation? Because for us as Jet fans, like, we don't even blame him that much, more his usage and everything that's gone along with it. But your reaction to the Jet decision to cut him and where he decided to go, which was an interesting choice, the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm sort of laughing, thinking about your last question a little bit, because, like, you know, I mean, I sort of had a feeling he was going to the Chiefs. I think a lot of people did. But there was a Twitter outage for like 45 minutes last night.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I have no idea who broke the news first. But even if I had, like, you know, hey, man, I want to give you this, like, whatever, you know, what would I have done? Twitter wasn't working.
That's true.
You know, it's been very strange for me to be off Twitter for the last, you know, 7 days. It was even stranger to have breaking news, as I'm sure people did, and not be able to tweet it. But as far as Le'Veon Bell, I'm really fascinated because I've watched a ton of Jet games over the last couple of years. He has not looked very good when he's played. I know last year, you know, the weight was a problem, especially by the end. This year he was in good shape, but, you know, didn't look good. The numbers are not good. I mean, I don't think he's gained better than 4 yards per carry since 2016 or 17. It's been a while. And so, you know, there's obviously a lot of questions. Is he magically going to reinvent himself in KC? I guess it's possible, but it's also possible that taking a year off from football is very bad, and he has kind of fallen off because of that, right? Like, you know, KC signed Sean McCoy last year, a lot of hubbub, a lot of hoopla, a lot of celebrating, and then by the playoffs, he was inactive. So I'll be curious to see if it's the same situation with Bell, because even if he was a great player being misused by coaches, wouldn't you think he would have, like, broken a tackle every once in a while? Like, that's the crazy thing for me. Like, he didn't gain any yards by himself, you know?
Yeah. I think it was a combo of both, to be honest with you. I think he's definitely not the same guy he was prior to sitting out a year, but also we've witnessed over the last year and a half a head coach that, quite frankly, doesn't know what he's doing. And an offensive line that hasn't been good. So I think, to me, it's been a combination of both. At least in Kansas City, he's going to have the tools around him, including a brilliant play caller. So if he has enough left, we'll clearly see it in Kansas City.
And he doesn't need to have that much, because he's not going to be the bell cow. Everyone's leaning on him. Everyone's, you know, all the hopes are riding on him. He's not going to have that. He's also you know, going to have a head coach who wants him. Whereas, you know, wherever you assign blame in the Le'Veon Bell situation with the Jets, it is obvious Adam Gase did not want him for that money. I think at a much lesser salary he would have been fine with him, but for that money, it was always something that I think Adam Gase resented, as I would if I was a head coach, you know. And I think it also speaks to the sort of, you know, I don't know if dysfunction is the right word.
No, that's the right word. No. That is clearly disaster and dysfunction. Yes, those are the
right
words.
Okay, those are good words. When the head coach and GM are not on the same page, you just can't do it. I mean, this is such a perfect example of that. It was just never going to work. It was never going to work.
Yeah, what a disgrace. Talking to Ian Rappaport. What's going on with the COVID stuff now? Now they're told the Patriots have shut down their facility again. Is this Bronco Patriot game in jeopardy now for Sunday? I mean, where are we with this now?
I don't think it's in jeopardy. I mean, from everything, it sounds like that it's still on as of now. And you know, part of the reason for that, I mean, the NFL, I think it was like a week ago, it was a couple of days ago, they enacted some new COVID protocols, and they've sort of adapted this on the fly. So basically, let's say you have someone test positive. When that happens, you basically enact some new regulations to make sure that if there's another positive test, it doesn't spread. So, for instance, the Patriots, I think, have only been in the building a couple times. Their meetings were virtual. So when they found out that there was a positive test today, it doesn't sound like at least any or very many people have been in contact with them because of these new protocols to make sure everything's safe. So this is not a situation where, like, you had a positive test after someone had been on the plane while sitting close to six buddies. They had been separated. They had been mostly virtual. I think there was a weightlifting session at some point, but, you know, not very much. So because of the unbelievably strict way the NFL and the NFLPA have set this up, the game should be fine despite this one case.
We're talking to Ian Rappaport about the NFL. The Dak injury was horrible. We all saw it. And Jerry Jones has been positive about the future of Dak in Dallas. But what does this do to his future? You know, they could bring him back on a franchise tag next year. I get all that. But as far as him getting that mega contract, that contract extension, what happens next for Dak in Dallas in the next couple of years?
Two scenarios. Best case scenario, it changes the timing. Because right now, you know, we're going to get to late February, early March, and it's franchise tag time. So the Cowboys, I don't believe, are going to be in a situation where they say, you know what, we're good, we're just going to move on, health or not, we're fine without Dak. I don't think that's the case. I think they franchise tag him. And they're not going to give him a long-term extension until he's really fully healthy, right? So that probably takes you to, he'll participate in OTAs and minicamp on some level. You know, July 15th is when these new deals for franchise tag guys get struck. So you're looking at best case scenario, July 15th, Dak has a new deal. Also possible they don't do a deal or they are not completely confident in his health and he just plays on the tag again. After that, he'll become a free agent and we'll see. The other scenario is they're not happy with the way his rehab has gone and they decide to move on. I don't think that's likely. But I guess anything, it's theoretically possible. Main thing is it changes the timing and delays a long-term deal at best.
You know, right now, Ian, as we sit through 5 weeks in the NFL season, who right now to you, I know it's early in the year, who's the best team in the league right now to you? I mean, who do you look at right now and say, man, this team, I think this team, if I had to put money on it right now, this team to me is a Super Bowl team. You got somebody like that? I know it's early, but how about that?
Yeah, I mean, it is early. I still, and I know they're obviously, their record is not perfect, but to me, I kind of still would say the Chiefs. You know, like they,
right.
I mean, I know they lost, but, you know, like they still look, I'm not going to say unbeatable, but they could win any game at any time. And so I think that's, you know, to me, they probably are still the scariest and most dangerous. The other one I'd probably put in that category would be the Seahawks. I know the Packers are awesome. I get that. But I would put the Seahawks.
Right.
Russell Wilson is in a place right now where, you know, he is probably the presumptive MVP. You think he can win any game and every game. And was there any doubt that he was going to hit the play on fourth down and goal the other night? I mean, everybody knew it was coming, right? I think, to me, those are probably the two best teams. And, you know, it's interesting, and I don't, maybe it's COVID or I don't know what, but I feel like the really, really good teams are very separate from the almost everyone else, like more so than I can remember the Seahawks and, you know, the Packers and the Chiefs. I mean, they are so separate from everyone else kind of in the middle. You know, like, I'm looking forward to the championship games because that'll be the powerhouses, hopefully. But I don't know. It seems in the middle it's kind of up in the air a little bit.
It does feel like there's a drop-off in this moment. Well, obviously, a lot can change.
Where do you put Tennessee and Pittsburgh? How do you look? I mean, Tennessee was very impressive. They steamrolled the Bills last week. Pittsburgh's undefeated. Now, big test this week when they play this. You know, Cleveland is really playing well right now. But how about that? Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
Well, I'll start with Pittsburgh. I think they are good. It's weird to me because Ben still hasn't played great, but the defense is very good. And they could run the ball, I think, pretty well, better than I sort of expected them to be. I think they are pretty good. Now, you're right. They win this week, and I will say, all right, that's really quality. I mean, so, look, the Browns are a test. I mean, that is really
No question.
They are legit, and you better tackle. And Baker seems to have bounced back, thanks in part, I think, to a really good run game. The Browns look like this is what they've been trying to build for, I don't know, 30 years. As far as the Titans go, you know, I'm still not quite sure because, I mean, it was a good win last week. It was definitely a little us against the world. Kind of everyone's been saying we screwed up the COVID stuff or talking about violations or we're going to get punished. And they played the whole we got disrespected thing. And
right.
And I sort of don't care how teams motivate themselves. I really don't. Like, you can do whatever you want. You know, whatever gets you that edge is fine. That was a little manufactured to me, and I don't know if that's something that can really carry them. So I definitely a little more wait and see on the Titans than I am on basically any other undefeated team.
They'll have to pull a Jordan. They'll have to come up with something new every single week, some kind of disrespected angle every single week as they go through the season, because that was very creative, using that as motivation.
Right,
but, hey,
and I'm like,
worked.
Come on. Now, Vrabel is that kind of dude. Like, he could – you know, he could come up with any sort of perceived slight. Like, he was, you know, in his playing days, he was a big, like, bulletin board guy. Like, he was all into that stuff. So I'm sure as a coach it's the same. But, you know, I'll be curious how it's us against the world this week, especially with everyone loving on him for 5 days.
No doubt. We've had two head coaches fired, and obviously a third would make a lot of sense. But who knows if that's going to happen with Gase.
Any particular third?
Well, we just said Gase. You said Gase.
Right. Do you? I don't know if my memory is wrong about this, but it seems like we don't get a lot of in-season firings this early. And we've had two of them. And I understand why. Two teams that had expectations. One team was in the Super Bowl a few years ago. We know the deal with Bill O'Brien, especially as a GM. Do you see motivation in doing so because it does give you a head start on a coaching search? What do you look at for the reason why we've seen, besides just the individual story of both teams have been massive disappointments, on maybe the strategy behind doing this as early as both teams have?
Yeah, so I don't actually see there being much, you know, advantage to doing it early as it pertains to the coaching search. I mean, yes, the Texans hired the search firm. I mean, congratulations. I don't know. You know, I'm still struggling to figure out why those search firms are actually helpful, but whatever. Maybe doing it early helped them lock up that search
Don't
firm.
Get well, us started way, yeah, on the search firms.
Yeah, didn't the search firm find the Jets' Todd Bowles?
Yes.
That was a great
I
job. Thank
right.
you. I want to thank Charlie Cassidy again for that one. Thank you, Charlie.
My colleague.
Well, tell him I said thanks a lot.
I'm sure he takes all criticism with a, you know, anyway, with his with his typical Cassidy ways. I really think what happened here is, first of all, the COVID thing, I think, I feel like, created some of these situations where it was a lot for teams to handle. Different protocols, redoing your stadium, redoing your locker room, coaching the players different. And if you didn't handle it well, I think it led to teams being worse. In other words, like, I never got the sense, Bill, like, they tried like crazy, but it was always a weird year for the Texans based in part on how COVID treated them, you know? And I think some of the things they did in the off season, they brought in a bunch of new parts, you know, they new receiver didn't mesh well. I mean, it was, So I think that has increased the difference between the haves and the have-nots, right? I mean, Atlanta, you know, similar thing where they were just really, really bad right out of the gate. The other thing that happens is once one team does it, I think it becomes much more reasonable.
Right.
Yeah. Like when you're looking at, you say, oh, wow, you know, Houston did it. And then Atlanta's like, well, when are we going to do it? And then all the reporters start asking them, you know, same thing with the Jets, same thing with the Lions. Like at some point, if it doesn't turn around, because it's almost acceptable because someone already did it,
right?
It just leads to questions every week. Like, how many weeks in a row are we going to do this until the owner goes, okay.
You got what you wanted. Yeah. Yeah.
You got what you wanted. So I think doing it early definitely leads to everyone going, okay, I guess we're just going to do this. And then it just kind of happens.
Well, we look forward to seeing you on Twitter again. And have a great weekend, Rap. Always good talking to you, man.
See you.
I look forward to it as well. Thanks, guys. Sure. Take care.
See you, man.
Ian Rappaport, who does a great job, NFL Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.